Welcome to another edition of the Hawk Off the Press podcast. I'm your host, Gazette Hawkeyes reporter John Steppy. I'm excited to welcome to the podcast new Iowa running backs coach Omar Young. Omar, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you for having me, John.
So now that you've been here for a couple months, chance to get settled in, chance to see 15 practices with this group of running backs. Yeah. Kind of what stood out to you the most about them kind of this spring?
It was good because I came in not wanting to know anything about any of them, so I can build my own, you know what I mean, case for them or whatever it is, idea of them. And it's been great. They've all kind of exceeded, you know, what I initially thought of coming in, which has been really good. And it's been good to see kind of the growth. So when I first got here, it's kind of like, what is coach talking about? To the end of practice, like, oh shoot, that, like, I got it, like, you know what I mean? And it's not where we want it to be, don't get me wrong, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's along those paths, and that's been phenomenal to see. And just the growth of everybody in the room, you know what I mean? You talk about, you know, Kamari Moten and TJ Washington and Jazz and, you know, all those guys that people kind of know and have heard about, but then, you know, the Xavier Williams is taking advantage of his opportunities and then Nathan McNeil's taking advantage of his opportunities, you know, like that was kind of cool to see those guys kind of grow up. And then Brevin Dahl, I know he wasn't out there for much of the spring, but just to see his process grow off the field and how hungry he is to kind of get back out there was really cool. So looking forward to having all those guys and then adding a new guy coming in the mix with Braden Jackson. So it'll be fun to have all those guys kind of go out there and compete and show what they can do and, you know, take the next step in the journey and the next step in this Iowa offense.
It seemed like Kamari Moten really had an impressive redshirt freshman season behind Caleb Johnson. What do you see as kind of the next step for him and what do you think is possible for him now that he doesn't have a consensus All-American ahead of him on the depth chart?
I think just getting him in the mindset that he has to take another step in his maturation process, right? Be it off the field, be it on the field. And he's buying in and he's doing everything that I'm asking him to do. And I think that once we can slow the game down from a mental standpoint, the physical tools and gifts are already there. It's just more of the mental stuff of just getting him to understand why we're doing things and why we're calling things and when we're calling. I think that those things will help him, you know what I mean, be able to take the next step that we're looking for him to take.
And then with TJ Washington, it seemed like he kind of had one foot in the running back pond, one foot in the wide receiver pond last year. What could he do this year now? You know, he's not really as much split attention going into this summer and this fall camp eventually.
Yeah, man. You talk about a dude that has a lot of tools and a lot of gifts is pretty cool to see. And you kind of had that impression when I came in. But again, when you actually get out there and see him go and how explosive he is and things like that's the thing where you get really excited and you're like, oh, shoot, man, we could try and use him this way. Oh, we can try and use him this way. But he's really like the running back stuff. I thought it was going to take him a little bit longer for him to pick up some of these things. But he's come in and like just hit the ground running, man, and his work ethic is off the chains and off the charts. And so that allows him to kind of make up some ground that way. So it's been cool for him to have that process of coming in and really being able to just say, you know what, I am a running back. I don't have to worry about anything else. And it's been nice to see his guard kind of get let down and for him to go out there and just do what he needs to do.
You were mentioning Nathan McNeil, and he was somebody that really stood out to me during the open spring practice. Yeah. Kind of what did you see from him over the course of 15 practices in the spring?
I think when you talk about a guy that's coming in as a freshman, right, at the time when we're out there practicing, he's supposed to be at prom, you know, things like that. And, you know, that young man has like wanted nothing but, hey, coach, can you give me this? Can you tell me this? And so I think that when you have a guy that's like that, it makes it easier to coach, but it also makes it easier for him to grow, right? Like he wants it really bad. He just has to continue to keep understanding that it's a process, right? Like it's not just going to happen overnight. And I think there was a point there in the spring where he got humbled, and that was good. That was cool to see. And he bounced back from that, which was even better to see, you know, and I think sometimes when you come in, you can have some success initially, and then not have some guys can kind of say, and then it takes him a while, but he bounced back really fast. So it was good to see him and his progression. Excited to see what he does here in fall camp and see how, what steps he's taking forward in this offseason to put himself in position to, you know, try and see what happens.
In a perfect world, of course, nothing's ever perfect, but in a perfect world, what's your ideal kind of way of splitting up carries and games between kind of running back 1, 2, 3? And how much does that fluctuate kind of based on who is the hot hand?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the ideal world, right, you would like ideally to have one guy, two guys, at the most three, where you're kind of supplementing each one of them, right? And they each kind of have a role and a very specific role. So they know when they get in there exactly what to expect, right? Like they go into the game knowing, I'm going to be here in these situations. And so if you have a guy that kind of outlines that and makes that really easier, if you don't, then it becomes, you know, a deal by feel, by series, by whatever the case may be. And then you just hope that at some point, one of those guys takes it over, right? And like I said, in terms of being a process, like this is going to be a process. And I want them all to kind of know that and understand that. And it may not be game 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, but whatever it is and whenever it is, you know, we'll have it kind of situated and kind of go from there. But ideal world, like to have one, but I've had situations where we've had three and we've had to rotate three, and that's been tough to kind of juggle. And it's been situations where we've had three, but their roles were very defined, right? And made that real easy. So like these two guys are doing this and this guy's doing this. And so we'll make it work however we need to make it work. There's some flexibility there, and we'll see exactly, you know, like I said, coming out of this thing of where we're at and what we need and who's better at doing what, all those things kind of play into a role and a factor.
When you're talking about these defined roles, what's kind of the advantage when you're able to kind of have those clearly defined roles? What does that do for your guys?
I think it just allows them to settle down, right? Like when I know I'm going into a game week, for example, and let's say I'm along the lines of getting, let's call it make-believe 20 carries a game, or I'm getting 40 plays a game, right? Like whatever, however that shapes up in terms of you getting the ball. And then, you know, as the number two guy, you're probably going to get somewhere between 25, 20 plays. And then the next guy's getting 10 to 15, somewhere in there. It makes it really easier to know and accept what it is that you're being asked to do. You get what I'm saying? And so now you don't have to be like, well, is coach going to put me in right now? Or when am I getting in? Like, you know, specifically, oh, shoot, I'm a third down guy. All right, third down, boom, I'm running in there. Like, coach don't really even have to really tell me, hey, go in. Now, it might be certain situations where we change that up or whatever. But I think those, when you can have clear and defined roles, those guys can accept those roles, go be the best that they can in those roles. And now, again, obviously roles can change, right? Like you can have a situation where, hey, I'm the third guy, I'm getting a select amount of reps. Oh, shoot, I'm working my way into getting a little bit more. And so, you know, you just kind of play those things out. But again, if you can say, all right, this is my role, it's way easier to kind of go attack it as opposed to wondering, hoping, and guessing where you stand in the pecking order, in my opinion.
And then kind of bigger picture, kind of on and off the field, kind of what is kind of your coaching philosophy or kind of guiding principles that kind of affect how you are as a coach?
Yeah, I think the first thing is caring, right? Like, I want them to know that I care about them as people, more importantly, and that at the end of the day, their growth and maturation process as a human being is probably more important to me than it is as a football player, because I truly believe this, like, if I can take care of that and help them grow in those areas, they'll be great football players because they'll have, you know, all the things that they need in order to be successful. And they're here for a reason, right? Like, athletically, they're here for a reason. They wouldn't be here if they weren't really good athletically. So that part of it kind of takes care of itself. Now you enhance those things and you develop some more tools in their toolbox, so to speak. But I think the first thing is to make sure that they care. So when you talk about philosophy is care, you talk about being prepared, right? And having those guys prepared, whether it be, again, on the field or off the field, knowing their assignments, being prepared in the classroom, being prepared to go take that next step, whatever that next step is, to be a man and be a father and all those different things, and then being accountable. And so when you can have all of those things and now you're accountable to your teammate, right? You're accountable to your wife, your family, and all those things. Like, you become like this holistic person that is prepared, that hopefully takes some of that caring aspect that I'm putting into them. And now you got a well-rounded individual that's ready to go take on the world and go do really good things. So that's kind of the philosophy there for me, is just making sure that those three things kind of are embodied every single day. And I hopefully my guys kind of know that and take that away from it when it's all said and done.
What were kind of the things you were hearing, whether it be from Steve Ferentz, whether it be from other people who know people kind of thing? What were the things you were hearing about Iowa? Yeah. And any surprises then when you actually got here?
I think the surprise was that it truly was what people said. You get what I'm saying? Like, sometimes people say, and I don't know if I really heard a bad thing at all about Iowa in the process of going through it, of, you know, people that have been associated with the program or have come through here or have had dealings with people. There was nothing but high praises for the staff and the people that work in this building. And then when you come to work and you see it and you interact with them, it just, you get it, right? Like, it makes sense, like, why nobody leaves this place, right? Like, you start to understand the power that coach has and how he puts together a program that has been able to sustain, you know, a lot of things over a lot of different eras and times and periods in college football, and see a bunch of different stuff from transfer portal to no transfer portal to you name it. So it's been great that it was what it is. That's the surprising part. Sometimes you hear some things and you're like, you know what I mean? Nah, that ain't it. And no place is ever going to be perfect, right? Like, that's just wishful thinking. But I'd definitely say, like, super exceeded in terms of more positives than negatives.
And then, you know, having coached at seemingly every level imaginable, JUCO, D2, D1, FCS, FBS, obviously most recently NFL, what is it about, you know, being at this level, FBS, Power 4 Conference, Big 10, what is it about coaching at this level that really excites you?
I think the opportunity to go back and when I talked about the development of the person, right? You get some of that at most of those other places as well. The NFL, you can get some of that. You just have to be really intentional in terms of wanting to do that. But I think at this level, it is like the forefront of it. Like, you have to do that. And I think the beauty of seeing something from when you start recruiting these guys at 15, 16, 17, to then seeing them at 20, 21, 22, right? And the growth that happens in that time frame, like, that's really cool. And to know that you had a direct influence on that is also really cool. And like I tell the parents in the recruiting process of, you know, you guys set forth the foundation, and it's our job to kind of build on top of that foundation and make it a little bit stronger, so that now that when they go out into the world, like, they are truly prepared for life when life hits them, because it's going to hit them. And it's just a matter of time. And they, you know, they're not, it's just like anything that's new, right? You're never going to be completely ready for it, but you at least have some tools to be able to handle what you need to handle. And so it's just that part of it, that developmental process, on top of you had the football piece, right? And you're talking about one of the best conferences in football and college football, and the teams and the prestige and the history and all of those things. Like, it's like, what more can you ask for at that point, right? Like, I'm like a kid in the candy store. Like, people ask me all the time, like, why are you smiling? I'd be like, you all right? Are you good? I'm like, yeah, bro. I'm just like, you just have no idea, like, how fortunate I am to be here. And so sometimes it just hits me in a random moment. I'm just sitting there thinking, like, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm here. So it's kind of cool.
Was there a point in your kind of life where you realized, okay, coaching is really for me?
So, I think the intrigue happened in college, and part of that happened because of, like, I had this bad back injury, and part of it, even before that started, where our defense was kind of where you had to, I played safety, so we had to make specific calls on our side of the ball, right? And we had these two or three shell calls that we can make, to get us in the right situation. And so understanding, like, the mental aspect that comes with that, right, and having to be in the defensive coordinator's hip pocket and, you know, when you're going through the week and preparing, like, all of those, and seeing how they went about it, like, all of those things kind of sparked it initially. And then as you just keep growing and growing, I think it's like, oh, shoot. Like, I think it hit me. So I worked at a high school back in California called Fremont High School. And doing that, it was great. And that was kind of like the first coaching job that I had outside of, like, student assistant stuff. And it was good to see that part of it. And then I got into the scouting world. And when I got to the scouting world, that's kind of when it got solidified, because I'm like, man, I can see the talent here. I can see all of the things that can make them be X, but I can't get my hands on them and mold that the way that I see it being molded. And so that's when I was like, all right, bro, like, enough's enough. Like, you know what you want to do, go do it. And so that's when, you know, I got into the whole, like, truly got into the college world, I mean, the coaching world, and started off at JUCO and just kind of went from there, you know, and it just has transpired to what it is right now.
With the scouting background, does that help you much in recruiting, or kind of how has that impacted now who you are as a coach?
I think it has. I think for me, I'm fortunate because I've had that experience. And especially, you know, in my time with the Raiders, when I had that scouting internship, it was great because what it taught me was how to look for NFL talent, right? And I think it's one thing to kind of identify different things, but you had to identify guys that are currently in the NFL and then identify guys that are coming into it, right? And those are two different things, of guys that can stay and guys that can work their way up to it. And some of the projects that they had me do were super influential in terms of, you know, the way I see things even now to this day, of just having a better understanding of what I am, what I'm looking for, and what I want, and trying to build off of that every single day. And just continue to keep getting better, right? Like, the more you watch, the more things you see, like, it's never a stagnant process from an evaluation standpoint. It, you constantly keep getting better. And so it's just one of those deals where the more you do it, the better. The more reps you do, the better you get. It's no different than anything in life.
And then with the coaching, you know, I was referencing earlier how you've coached at so many different levels. You've coached with so many different roles within organizations. Kind of, were there any in particular that were especially influential in terms of shaping who you are as a coach today in 2025?
The first one that truly sticks out is, you know, my time at San Jose State, being starting off as a volunteer and moving up to a graduate assistant, and then them trusting me enough to say, hey, I know this is going to sound weird, but hey, you go work with the kickers, right? And being involved in the special teams world. So like when I first started coming up in the college or in the coaching world, like I was on defense special teams predominantly. And to be able to work with the kickers, that gave me a really good insight in terms of from a mental standpoint, because for those guys, it's so mental. And building forth that confidence and giving them everything that they need from that regard. So that one stands out. And then the time in Cleveland stands out as being like the first go ahead of, hey man, like now you're on offense. And my guy, Wilbur Montgomery, that dude's phenomenal. He was like, hey, look, we got these two rookies. You got to make sure they get right. I'm like, coach, I don't really know the offense. Well, you better learn it. You know what I'm saying? And this is kind of like the first couple of weeks on the job. And it was cool for him to trust me and believe in me that way. And so I think those things kind of helped shape it. And then, you know, you just had different experiences along the lines that kind of keep stamping it and keep validating, you know, some of the things that you're doing, which has been good. So. But I think those two are the main ones for me that just kind of stand out the most of like, hey, here's initial opportunity, right, to like take it. And I'm saying that it's crazy because at the D2 school, I was a defensive back coach and special teams coordinator. So I started off like backwards. And then I kind of had to like revert back and kind of get retaught or whatever. But those ones stand out to me as being like the most influential in terms of helping me to progress along the way.
Kind of along those lines, you've worked around a lot of great football leaders kind of at those various places. Any of them that you kind of try to model yourself after in kind of any facets?
Yeah, I think you pull, like you said, I've been around a lot of freaking phenomenal dudes, teachers, developers. And so, like, I don't want to shortchange anybody really, you know what I'm saying, in terms of that. But I mean, you know, like I talked about with Wilbur, man, Wilbur always will stand out because that was a time where I'm like, bro, I'm in the NFL. I don't know what these cats is going to learn from me that I can't, like, what am I giving these dudes? But him believing in me that way, and then giving me the tools to go out there and be successful and coach those guys the way I wanted to coach them was good. And then, you know, Ben Sermons was super influential, the running back coach at Green Bay, just in terms of, you know, how he went about just being his authentic self every single day, which is kind of cool. In this era, you don't have to try and be somebody else. You just be you. And if you isn't good enough, then so be it. But more often than not, it is going to be. So just continue to be you. And his developmental plan that he has for guys when they come in there was cool to see and then be around. And then, you know, I mean, shit, it's like I said, it's a ton of other people that I can name and sit down. And I mean, I don't know, it would be, we'd have a long freaking podcast here, John, if you wanted me to go down the rabbit hole of that, you know. But those two people really kind of stand out for me the most, just in terms of like from a running back coach perspective of helping me develop my mindset and my coaching philosophy. Those two really were super influential for me.
With that time working with special teams, and obviously Iowa is known for its special teams, do you ever in practice kind of take and look at kind of what LeVar is doing over there and admire that at all? Or
yeah, I admire everything LeVar is doing. I mean, that dude is freaking off the charts, man. Like, the stuff that he's got, like, I sit in the meetings every morning that he's in there, and it's like, go. Like, I'm just, my notebook, my little surface is filled with gems that he's giving off. And even if I'm not, if I'm doing something else and I hear him say something, I'm like, hold on, bro, what? Okay. You know what I mean? And so, nah, man, he's a phenomenal coach, and he does a really good job of teaching these guys and getting them to buy in and truly understand. And you talk about roles, of truly defining what the role is and what that position entails and how to go about doing it on a day-to-day basis. Like, that guy's just off the charts in that way.
How much did it help for you ahead of being here to kind of have exposure to, obviously every place runs it a little differently, but to have exposure to the Shanahan style system that's now in place here?
I don't know if I would have been able to make it the 15 practices. Like, I can't, like, this offense, man, is so many intricacies that goes into it. And if you have no idea, it can make it a little difficult to understand. Now, for me, it was even still because when we were in Chicago, you know, Luke took the Green Bay's offense, but he made it ours. So we changed a bunch of names. And so it's things where Tim's talking and I'm saying a different name and I'm like, oh shoot, I gotta translate this. You know what I mean? And so but it made this transition super easier. I promise you. I sat there and there was times where I'm like, if I had to learn everything about this offense and then go teach it in the time frame that I had, there's no chance that I would have been able to get that done. So it was really good to have that background. And I think I can just provide that from to the running back room of just understanding how and where we fit within the offense, of understanding our role. I think it's been huge just for those guys to know, like, oh shoot, like, coach actually knows this. You know what I'm saying? So it's been good that way.
You know, having seen it with Luke in Chicago and now seeing with Tim here, kind of what is it about this Shanahan style system that you think makes it so effective?
I just think it's offense friendly, meaning I think that every position benefits from the overall basis of what it wants to be, right? Like, the offensive line can now run off the ball and go get after people that way. They don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be the biggest in the world. They don't have to be the strongest in the world. They just got to run, right? And understanding that we're going to make them right. I think the tight ends in this offense probably have some of the harder duties, per se, in my opinion, just because of how much we use them and the different spots we use them in and the different things we ask them to do, it can become a lot. And Abdul does a phenomenal job with those dudes. As you can see, the track record has been proven over time. And even last year, you know, with their first year in the system, those guys took it and ran with it as well, you know. But, you know, it all starts up front. George is, you know, got those guys doing everything that he wants them to do, and they completely bought in. And then I think it's quarterback friendly in the sense that the quarterback can, you know, they can highlight him. Like, he doesn't have to be the biggest, have the strongest arm. Like, he's just got to be able to get us in the right play and be able to throw with accuracy. And that sounds like a lot. But when you don't have to worry about a lot of different things, you know, I think that alleviates, you know, the thought process for those guys being able to go out there and do it. And then, you know, with the receivers and those guys now, when we're running the ball, like we're running it, these guys aren't catching 10-yard catches, right? Like, we're talking about averages of 20 plus, 15 plus when we're rolling and we got this thing going the right way from a play pass perspective or, you know, naked perspective. Like, these guys are getting explosive plays. So now they tend to buy in a little bit more, right? Being in on that side and saying, oh, shit, I'll block. If it means that I come out of this thing with four catches for 125, I'll do it. You know what I mean? And so I think when you can have the offense built the way that it is, everybody tends to benefit because it's just so position friendly. And now you can see the rewards that come from it. So that's the part I love about it is, you know, if you do it right, all positions makes it easy for all positions.
You're coming from the NFL, which people refer to as kind of the ultimate copycat league. What do you think, or do you think that other places are going to try to kind of do at least a version of what you guys are doing, or why do you think this hasn't caught on more yet, at least at the college level?
It's difficult to know. Although, like I said, all of those things happen, there's a lot of stuff that goes into the front end, you know, from a coaching perspective of getting us into those positions and playing and making things look the same, truly look the same, right? Understanding why we're doing certain things. And until you can have that understanding, it's really hard to kind of buy into it and go dive into it, right? Like, but you talk about copycat league, I would imagine, at least it was, I think last year, where 60%, 50 to 60% of the offenses in the league were running some type of version of it, right? Whether it be Shanahan's version, LaFleur's version, or McVay's version, there's somebody doing it, right? And I think that Tim's done a great job of finding a way to take this offense, dummy it down even more to where now a college kid can go out there and do it, right? Because it can be a lot, and it's a lot up front. But I think when you can dummy it down and understand why you're doing what you're doing, and then what's the counter if they're giving you something else and understanding those things, I think that's probably why it hasn't been a lot of people to go forth and do it. And then you talk about a lot of people just been having a lot of success in the other ways that they've been doing it, right? So if it's not broke, don't fix it in certain situations. But, you know, in my time of being in it, it's definitely, to me, the best thing smoking. You know, I love everything about it. And hopefully at some point one day I can run my own little version of it and have my own little spin. To be able to go and show a different part of it, you know. But I think those are the reasons why it hasn't really caught on from a college perspective. But I wouldn't be shocked if it doesn't, right? And the more success we have, the more people are going to go study what we do and study some of the other stuff from the NFL and try and steal some of it. And certain people are doing certain different things of it and it's not necessarily it. But like, we fully committed to it, and that's why we've had the success that we had, you know, in the past, and look forward to having more.
You were mentioning with this one kind of being dummied down a little bit so that a college kid can pretty quickly pick it up. How helpful is it when, just like in games, when you're doing kind of where it's simplified for the offense, where you're basically only running a couple of different things, but with different variations on it each time. How much easier does that make it kind of in games for, say, a running back?
For a running back, it's super easy that way, because it's a limited amount of things that you have to worry about and understand. So like now you don't have to focus so much on yourself. You can focus more on what the defense is doing to you, right? And understanding now, why are they doing it and what will they do to try and stop X if we're doing really well at X, you know what I'm saying? And I think that part of it, and then to me the video aspect in the game is just like, oh my god, I'm looking forward to that part of it, because I've only had to deal with the steel pitchers, and so it's gonna be real crucial to have the actual video in the game. Sometimes you can kind of probably be mesmerized by it, I would imagine, initially. But back to your, sorry, I went off the rails there. But I think that for those guys, when you don't have as much, it makes it easier to go out there and go freaking balls to the wall, because I'm not thinking about 8,000 different things that I got to worry about. I got 20 things and a couple of different variations off of those 20 things, and let's go play ball, and we'll just go. And you know, now this is, like I said, this is what they're giving you. Like, this is who they want to be. This is who they could be. And this is what they will be if we are having a lot of success, right? Like, that's the answer to the problem. So, and it just makes it easier, in my opinion, when you can know those things and not have to worry about 8 million different aspects too.
You were mentioning one day hoping to eventually put kind of your twist on it someday when you're running an offense. Do you know yet what your twist would be, or is that something you're still kind of thinking about?
I can't tell you that right now, John. Like, yes, I know exactly what my twist is going to be. If I tell you, then I'm telling the world right now. I don't want to tell the world. I need people to, they're going to have an understanding. Oh, man, he said back on John's deal that he was going to do this. Yeah, I am. But you don't necessarily know exactly the true essence of what it is, what it's going to look like. You can have an idea, but until you actually get out there and see it, then it's going to be difficult. I will say this, though, John. Here's man, Khalil Herbert gave us these when I was back at Chicago. Can you see this?
Yeah.
So that's where it's going to start. That's all you need. If you know that, you got a pretty good idea. You know what I mean? And that's been one of the things that I love about this place is, you know, if you want to be a running back or a running back coach, I mean, why not here? Like, it always has. And I think we'll always be a place where, you know, you're going to run the ball and have a lot of success doing it.
Well, Omar, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it. What's new on your agenda, man? You know, I'm hearing big things about you. I'm excited for you from what I'm hearing, and looking forward to that next step for you. And, you know, hopefully that, you know, you have our number down, so hopefully we can stay in touch and you know, continue this relationship going.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, but looking forward to the big things you're about to go head off and do, and the new journey and chapter in your life that you're about to go take, man. So I'm fired up for you and can't wait to see what you do with it.
Thank you. Yeah. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode. Until next week, we will talk Hawks later.
Not a Gazette subscriber? There's no better time to support local journalism. View our latest deals for print and digital offerings at thegazette.com/subscribe. Stay informed, be empowered. Subscribe to The Gazette today at thegazette.com/subscribe.